Welcome to Got Invention Radio with your host, Brian Freed.
Welcome to Got Invention Radio. I'm your host, Brian Freed, and let's help you with your inventions. Tonight we have a guest. His name is Bill Polkinghorne, and he's from Discovery Patch, and he is an expert patent searcher, right? How you doing, Bill?
All right, how are you doing?
Welcome to the show. Bill?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to the show.
All right, well, thank you.
Actually, Bill is an avid listener of the show, and he had a couple quick questions in between, and as I started to speak to him, really found that he was could be a very, very valuable asset to the inventors listening out there. And I invited him to be on the show, and we put a great agenda together tonight, so I'd like to get right to it, Bill. And before we do, if you could just give the listeners a quick background about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I'm located in the Washington area and work out of the patent office. I'm an independent inventor. An independent search firm. And I started back in the December 1980, back when everything was still paper and you had to go actually talk to the examiners and go back and look through the patent issues and so forth. And I've seen it change quite a bit in the last 30 years. And things are quite different now, but, you know, the fundamental things are the same, that, you know, inventors contact you or their attorneys contact you or companies contact you. Asking to have answers to questions that they have. So like I said, I've been in the patent business for a pretty long time, and good many of my friends are in the patent business as well, doing the same thing.
Okay. And right now you basically do patent searching for corporations more than the independent inventor, right?
Yeah. About half the work that I would do would be for corporations, and the other half would be for patent attorneys that are representing either independent inventors or small companies, sometimes large companies. And I get calls, you know, periodically I get calls from independent inventors that need some help. So we, you know, periodically we're working with small inventors, but not very often.
Okay. Now, I know from just going with different shows that we've done here, people know that I feel very strongly about doing a patent search. And I find that a lot of inventors are already at point Z when they didn't even do a patent search. And by the time they're at that point Z and they spent all their money, they realize that they're infringing on somebody else's intellectual property or it's somebody else's idea. And especially when they try to license a product that they didn't do a patent search and they're already, you know, at the point of capturing somebody's interest, and then they start doing their due diligence, the licensee, let's say, and they find out that it's somebody else's intellectual property, they really don't need you. They have somebody else's patent that they can possibly work with.
Yeah, well, the kind of interesting thing about that is that if you come up with an idea and you've actually invented something, just because you've invented something doesn't mean that you can get a patent. You know, in order to get a patent, the invention that you've come up with has to be new, useful, and non-obvious to one skilled in the art. So you might have uniquely invented something, but wouldn't qualify by the standards the government has. You wouldn't qualify for a monopoly on it. So in order to do that, you apply for a patent. And when you apply for a patent, it's usually one step in a process, you know, a process that a lot of your listeners are familiar with, where you come up with the idea, create the invention, apply for the patent, and then try to either manufacture a product or sell a license to the patent or whatever you do to try to capitalize
on your
property. And it's real important that it is your property. So, you know, whether you have a trademark or a copyright or a patent, depending on what type of work you're involved with, you really can't do anything. You know, you can't charge people rent to stay in a house that you don't own. So making sure that you do have some form of intellectual property is very important before you can attempt to sell it or license it or make the best use of it.
Absolutely.
And I don't do copyrights. I used to do trademarks years ago, but I don't really do trademarks anymore. I work strictly in patents now. see quite often is, you know, people will send me a, you know, an inventor will send it what we call a disclosure document. Basically, they say, here's a problem in the world, and I've come up with a solution, and here is a pretty precise definition of what my solution is, and I believe it's novel. So my job is to go out and learn about what the inventor has done, and then look at all resources, not just patents. You know, it could be articles from magazines. You know, if somebody has a glow-in-the-dark Frisbee, and I see it on the Internet, it's obviously, you know, something I can buy at Amazon or something. It's obviously not new.
So what do you tell the inventor when something like that happens? They give you this whole proposition, and all of a sudden you go on the Internet and you see exactly what it is that they mentioned to you.
Well, if I find it on the Internet that quick, I call them up and ask them if they really want to pay for a patent search. It's, you know, it's not worth, especially, you know, small inventors might not know better. You know, they might not know that they really ought to spend some time looking around before they commit the resources that are necessary, because, you know, you have some patents, and you've gone through the patent process, and you've gone through marketing and distribution and manufacturing, and it's a very long road that takes a lot of time for you to see your first dollar. And I hate to see people start off on the wrong foot. You know, you really need to start by searching and finding out what's already out there and where you fit in the whole picture.
Well, that sounds very easy, but a lot of inventors out there, and even inventors that have done professional patent searches and so forth, they'll just put it into somebody to do it for them, like they did with you, for example, and you just went online and did it. But typically, what should an inventor do, or what should somebody with an idea do, the first steps that they should take before they do anything at all?
Well, to me, it's an obvious thing that they should do a patent search. And there's a number of ways to do that. You know, one would be to do it yourself, and there's a lot of resources out there to do it yourself. And one would be to actually go to a lawyer and discuss it with a real patent lawyer that knows what's going on, and take advice from people that have already been through this process. But you know, there's many different types of searches, and when people call in and they ask me to do a search for them, one of the first things we have to do is make sure that what type of search it is they want. And just to name a few types, there's collection searches, novelty searches, infringement searches. There's several more types of searches. But I believe that individual inventors would be interested primarily in those three types of searches. And in a collection search, you might have, say you've come up with an idea, you have an idea for a glow-in-the-dark baseball. And you say, wow, that's a really cool idea, I should patent that. And you hear people say lines just like that all the time. Well, if you want to do your own search, you know, you could go out to the patent office and the patent office website, you know, USPTO.gov, and just type in glow-in-the-dark baseball, basically. And you'll see that there's some out there. And in a sense, what that would tell you is that, wow, you're not the first person to think about this. But if you don't find anything, it wouldn't indicate that nobody's ever done it. You know, a lot of different terms could be used to describe glow-in-the-dark baseballs. You know, they could be spherical illuminators, or any number of terms could be used to describe that. But anyway, by doing a collection search, you get a view of the landscape, basically. You get some idea of who's involved in these businesses and what inventions have already been done. And when I've delivered collection searches to people, quite often they use them almost like a custom-made magazine. So they sit back and they read all about this subject that they're interested in, and quite often it'll stimulate ideas. They'll say, wow, this guy did it, but I think he did it all wrong, and I would do it differently. So by doing a search, you can get yourself educated with the things that already exist, and that's important, because the next type of search you might want to do is a novelty search. And in a novelty search, an inventor has already described what it is they're going to do. They know fairly precisely what they're going to do, maybe not all the details, but they know what the key components are. And when you send that off to a searcher, you'll send your disclosure document, and you'll say, I've got these three components, you know, A, B, and C. And the searcher will review that and then go out and determine a field of search, you know, that matches the classification system at the patent office, and use keyword searching and a number of other techniques internet search to find out more about that company. There's a lot of techniques that can be used to uncover as much prior art as possible. Mm-hmm. And then what you would do is you compare the search report showing what's already known to the things that you would want to claim. After all, you know, some new inventors don't know that it's only the claims that matter.
Okay. Bill, I find that a lot of people go to or they get a search done or they do it themselves. And we're going to talk about what you actually do as a patent searcher and what you could do to do it yourself. We'll go through that in the next segment. But what is it that people are really looking for? Is it prior art? Is it the claims? And you know, what do they do with it?
When you're doing your own search, you wouldn't need to necessarily worry about the claims right off. You would want to be looking at the titles and the abstracts to find out what the subject matter is, to see if someone's describing what you've invented. The reason that you'd really want to use a patent attorney is that when you get down to the details, you have one claim that you'd like to make, and you have to compare that not just against claims that have been made by other people, but by content in their document.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. We have a lot to go over. How do you do your own patent search, and what does a professional patent searcher do? And we'll also talk more about the invention process. So we'll be back with Bill Polkinghorne from Discovery Patch on Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Save your cash while increasing your sales. Every business knows cash is king. Quit paying out your cash while maintaining all the services you need. At the same time, increase sales with new customers. Sound too good to be true? It's not. WS Radio has done it using traditional business practices. We will even give you $250 in services just to give it a try. Log on to WSRadio.com/barter. That's WSRadio.com/barter.
Love to read but just don't have the time? With Audible.com, you can catch up on reading simply by listening. Audible has the largest collection of digital audiobooks, over 85,000 titles in every genre. Listen to a bestseller on your iPhone, BlackBerry, Android smartphone, or one of 500 other compatible devices. Visit audible.com/WSRadio today and get a free audiobook when you try Audible free for 14 days. That's audible.com/WSRadio.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.
There's nothing small about the challenges of running a small business. That's why CBeyond offers big solutions to help you grow. In fact, more than 50,000 small businesses nationwide count on CBeyond's award-winning communications and IT services, like our local and long-distance, high-speed broadband, mobile, web hosting, data backup and security, plus more than 30 productivity-enhancing applications. To learn more, log on to CBeyond.net. That's the letter C, Beyond.net. Big solutions for growing your small business.
Could your business use $10,000 to $500,000 in cash flow to grow faster? Do you need money for things like purchasing inventory or advertising your business? If you do, call AmeriMerchant. AmeriMerchant offers a variety of working capital programs for your business. While banks have tightened up their criteria to give money to small businesses, AmeriMerchant is providing working capital to all types of businesses every day. They even have special programs that allow your business to purchase inventory or advertise with no money up front. Grow your business today with up to $500,000 in new cash flow in as little as 7 days, only from AmeriMerchant. Call us right now for a free quote. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. Call us 24 hours a day for a free quote. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570.